You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into this edition of ESPN FC. Craig Burley, Sebastian Salazar in studio. Plenty to look forward to on the weekend. League Cup final between Manchester City and Spurs. Plus, another rumor about who might replace Jose Mourinho at Tottenham. Archie Rintoul will join us a little bit later for that. Right now, though, let's welcome into the show Steve Nicol and Julian Laurent. Gentlemen, great to have you with us. One game on the Premier League schedule today. Everton beating Arsenal 1-0. Craig. Everton just...
Well, the most interesting thing about this game is you and I had a discussion about is, are we going with a tie or no tie in this programme?
It was ugly.
I literally was falling asleep. Yeah. I'm telling you. Honestly, and I mean this in all sincerity, I wouldn't open the curtains to watch either of these two teams. I really wouldn't. And look, Everton just had to get a result, which they did, to keep their fight for the top four on. If you think they're going to make it, I personally don't. And Arsenal, and I think I heard Jim Proudfoot say on the World Feed commentary we were listening to, that that's the most games they've lost at home in one season since 1930. You know, and you had, if you want a side just to roll over and, you know, so you can tickle their belly, it's Arsenal, isn't it? And you know, to be quite frank with you, yeah, they had a bit of a better spell in the second half. Leno makes a mistake. He can't legislate for that, but he makes too many mistakes, in my opinion. And near a side near the middle of the table for Arsenal Football Club, that is just not good enough.
Stevie, Arsenal as bad as Craig's making them out to be?
100%. But I think the more worrying thing is the fact that Everton have got a chance of getting in the top four because they weren't any better than Arsenal. At least Arsenal, at the start of this game, were pushing forward as if they had something to play for. Everton. Everton did absolutely nothing. I mean, it looked like they were the ones on the beach. So, yes, Arsenal were poor, but my goodness, I'm not so sure where I stand when I think if Everton get in the top four, this side gets in the top four, I'm not sure it says too much about the Premier League, to be honest.
Craig, they're only 3 points out of the top four.
Yeah, but I've seen them play like that a lot this season, and they've lost a lot of games against weaker teams that they shouldn't. That's the double over Arsenal, by the way. That tells you about Arsenal. But look, when you've got Rodriguez, you've got Richarlison, you've got Calvert-Lewin's pace, you've got Sigurdsson in the team, Gylfi Sigurdsson. These are all what you would call attack-minded players, right? And yet we still see a very okay. It's 3 points, I understand, but it's still a very defensive-minded. Performance, yeah, he's missing Doucouré in the middle of the park. I get that, but it's no. Look, I don't think Everton will get in the top four, so I don't think we have that concern. They're just not two very good teams to watch. And let me tell you about Arsenal. And I know we'll get to the fans outside the ground, but Josh Kroenke this week, as part of this Super League debacle, part of his statement to the fans, he said. Well, you know, Arsenal didn't want to miss out in the Super League if it came along and, you know, all that missed the train sort of rhetoric that's been thrown out there. You know, because people around the globe, they want to see Arsenal play, you know, Barcelona more often. No, they don't. No, they don't. Nobody wants to see Arsenal play Barcelona at this moment in time because Arsenal can't beat the riffraff in the Premier League. So, you know, that is just how out of touch some of these, and I know Kroenke's the son of, Josh Kroenke's the son of Stan Kroenke, the owner. That's how out of touch these people are. Oh, the fans who want to see Arsenal Barcelona. No, they just want you to see you running this club properly. A club that moved to this Emirates Stadium to be amongst the elite of European football again. Not amongst the sort of dregs of the Premier League, playing in that manner with a squad like the way they have, with the recruitment decisions that they've made. That's what people want to see improved, not. Oh, we'll play Barcelona, and that's going to make everything better. I mean, it's just absolute you know, bolder dash.
Jules, we know the off-field can be a distraction. Also, Europa League clearly the priority for this Arsenal squad. They're missing some big pieces today. Should we give them any type of pass?
I mean, the season has been a pass, really, to be fair. So, of course, I don't think the protest outside the ground helped. I don't think the game against Villarreal in midweek come in, because that's clearly the priority, helped either. Plus all the players, as you said, missing, no Lacazette, no Aubameyang, no Tierney, no Odegaard. And they are big players, key players in that team. Some of the ideas on the pitch were good. The problem is the lack of talent. I mean, the lack of quality in that team in certain position is so obvious that you could have all the good ideas that you want and good manager on the pitch. What they do is just not enough, and that was, again, I think tonight sums up very much the Arsenal season on the pitch, off the pitch as well, with the tensions, with the issues between the ownership, the fans, etc. Plus on the pitch as well, the fact that they've been very inconsistent. Of course, they're capable of good results, and we saw that against some of the top teams home and away, and some really poor results like against Fulham, and again today. And VAR didn't help, of course, today, because that call on the penalty is a call that if it's someone far more competent than David Coote as the VAR referee, I think that's not given as an offside, and it's a penalty, and it might be a different story. But again, you can't hide behind VAR. It was just not good enough from Arsenal again tonight.
Well,
isn't it amazing, right? We're sitting here and yes, what Jules has just said is correct. Oh, four big pieces of the puzzle have been missing. Odegaard and Tierney and Lacazette and Aubameyang. But guess what? You know what, those four big pieces? They're still in ninth place. So I don't know who's kidding who. This just is not a good team. And it's not a good squad. And the so-called big pieces, well, they ain't pulling the rest along. That's for sure.
Craig?
Well, Odegaard, come on. At least played some part. I mean, if you're relying on a loan signing,
yeah, exactly. If you're relying on the likes of him and Lacazette, who actually at the start of this season we thought wouldn't even be there. Tierney's been a surprise how influential he's been, and Aubameyang started the season awfully as well. So it's just not a good side. And if we try and paint it anything else, then we're not telling the truth.
I saw an interview after the game. With the local broadcaster. Oh, sorry. I saw an interview after the game that was from before the game, looking back about, interviewing the players when they arrived, interviewing Arteta about the fans outside protesting. I don't know how many there were, a few thousand at most. Wasn't like 50,000, but it was more than like 50 or 100. And how troublesome was that? Because you had to leave, you know, all this sort of cotton wool stuff. Well, you had to leave a bit early to get to the ground because of the fans. Wow. and how will that affect you? And has that hindered you? But I mean, forget that. I tell you what, you know what would be worse? 50,000 plus inside the Emirates howling at that garbage. You know, every second week. That would be worse. Let me tell you. A couple of thousand, whatever it is, fans outside the ground protesting at the ownership has no bearing whatsoever on how these players perform on the field. Let's just nail that. Let's nail that on the head. That isn't the problem. There's a huge problem going forward for Arteta here. You know, one, he has to win the Europa League now for Champions League football, but really and truly, what difference does it make? Because they'll go in the Champions League, get a few quid, get knocked out, because they're not good enough. The problem is long-term recruitment, right? And if he goes into next season without anything tangible on that side of things, he's screwed. He's screwed with this team. Now, that's not to say he's totally not at fault by selection and the rest of it, because he's a young manager and he's learning the game. And he might be out his depth. We'll find that out. But this recruitment at Arsenal is not helping. This ownership at Arsenal is not helping. If any of these big Super League teams, if any of the ownership, and they're all crying around certain parts of Europe and England about changing ownership, if anybody needs a change in ownership, trust me, to go forward, it's this club. It's Arsenal.
Arsenal well outside the top four. Everton just 3 points outside the top four. Huge match as far as the top four implications on Saturday. West Ham against Chelsea. There you see West Ham serious underdogs despite being home. No Declan Rice, no Mikel Antonio for the Hammers. Kovacic out for Chelsea. What are our guys saying in the predictions? Craig and Jules have Chelsea winning 1-1. Stevie, you were on the fence yesterday as West Ham or Chelsea, who would get into the top four. You seem to still be on the fence. You got this one going down as a 2-2 draw.
I do, yeah. I like, you know, West Ham at home, generally, have been excellent. They've had a couple of poor results. The Liverpool one is the one I'm thinking of. But at home, absolutely, they're competitive and they can beat anybody on their day. And the fact is, they've been really consistent. They've certainly been scoring goals. And that's even without Mikel Antonio. Now, recently, they've been letting some goals in. And that's why I've gone for 2-2. Because I don't think that Chelsea can keep them out. And Chelsea's not a side that goes and scores a lot of goals. And so a couple of goals for West Ham for me means that it's a 2-2 draw.
Greg, you got Chelsea winning, keeping a clean sheet. No respect for Jesse Lingard?
No, I honestly, from the outside, I'm really pleased to see a guy resurrect his career in the manner in which he has. And I think it's been great for him to get out of the shadows of Old Trafford. The reason I've gone for a Chelsea win is twofold. I think, one, they have a better squad. I think West Ham have, totally out superseded their expectations this year. David Moyes has done brilliant. But they don't keep enough clean sheets. And as Stevie said, that they're losing goals. And I think Chelsea, the one thing, you know, people have said about Thomas Tuchel, he's came in, he's got results, he's had the odd wobble. But in general, their organisation defensively has been absolutely superb. And that's why I've got them to nick it by the odd goal.
This game, obviously, super important for Champions League. A discussion we thought we might not have earlier this week. But now that the Super League has been, at least for the moment, put to bed, people are focusing on the new and revised Champions League format, and the response is not going great. Here's Ilkay Gundogan of Manchester City. With all the Super League stuff going on, can we please also speak about the new Champions League format? More and more and more games. Is no one thinking about us players? The new UCL format is just the lesser of the two evils in comparison to the Super League. He continued, the UCL format right now works great, and that is why it's the most popular club competition in the world for us players and for the fans. Here's more reaction from Ilkay's boss, Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp as well.
Every time is the same. All the world football, the managers, the players are asking a better quality, and the football go again for the quantity. So what can I say? Oh, we can speak here, but we are not in charge on that. So yeah, we have to try to ask to the UEFA or FIFA or whatever to extend the year. And instead to have 365 years, maybe we can find 400 days a year. Maybe they can find a solution on that. So I don't know, honestly. I don't know.
Yes, the Super League is off the table. Good. Very good. But the new Champions League is now not that you think, oh, great. What's that? Let's just do that. They showed it to me. They called me and they gave 1 hour to UEFA, and then they showed it to me, the whole idea. And I said, I don't like it because there are 10 games instead of 6. I have no idea where we shall put them in. The only people who will never get asked are the coaches, the players, and the supporters. Yes, but we have, and I mean, I know the supporters think, yeah, but playing more games, they get paid a lot of money, but we are already on the edge.
All right, Jules, everybody's complaining about more games. Isn't this what the big clubs wanted, though? More games against other big clubs? Is UEFA really the bad guy here?
Both of them. It's exactly the same. That's what the big clubs wanted. And when we say big club, that doesn't mean the manager or the player. But that's what the big clubs and the directors in those big clubs wanted. UEFA, also for them, I guess, more games is better. That means more money from TV and revenues and marketing and sponsorship deal and everything you want. But Jurgen Klopp is right. Where do you play the extra 4 games per team? How? Where? This season already, we've had Pep Guardiola before the first leg against Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League saying, UEFA and FIFA are killing the players. And he's right. This is a season with the Euros at the end where already we've had 3 games on the international break compared to 2 before. They managed to fit 3 games in 8 days, 9 days sometimes with the national team. Why? Why that third game? And now you're going to tell us that as well, we're going to increase the games in the Champions League. Who thought that was a good idea? Again, I think they're right. Why are you not asking the players? Are you asking the managers like Jurgen Klopp and you're not listening to what they respond to you? So I just think the whole thing is a shame. board, but we've flagged it up for a long time now, this reform of the Champions League, saying that was not a good idea. It's just funny that now that the Super League has collapsed already, that now we can maybe talk about that reform of the Champions League.
There's more in sport. All right, we'll stick to your sport. It's gone past breaking point. Mm. They want more games, more money, you know, more injuries, all this. It's got to stop. And
you're with Gundogan here.
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, we're just asking too much now. And you can take salaries out of the equation because it doesn't matter how much you get paid. When you lose quality over quantity, the product suffers eventually. So it's a very short-term look at stuff. But this more games, Champions League, more revenue, more advertisement, better for the fans, no. More teams at the World Cup, more teams at the European Championships coming up. Everything's more. More of this, more of this, more of this. And it can't continue. It can't continue. And I think at some point, the big wigs have to sit back and take a look and say, how long will quantity over quality last before people just get utterly fed up? The fans, the public spoke this week with the Super League. And I think eventually with all this increase in games, both at international level and club level, the people paying the money for TV, for streaming, for to go to the games, to travel, will just eventually say, no more. The product is getting diminished by the quantity of games being played, and we don't want to see it anymore. So I just think we are way past the breaking point.
Jules, the new format has been voted on. It's been approved. Is there any chance it could be changed now?
It's a difficult question. I think there's always a chance because Alexander Seferin and people at UEFA can say, you know what, let's all sit down around the table and let's see. We've heard so many voices now. And even Florentino Perez, I mean, of course he was going to say it, but he said, the current format is much better than the next one, the new one that has been voted for. So I guess maybe you can sit down and find a way of looking at the scheduling. I'm not just even talking about this new format of the Champions League. This is coming in 2024. There's plenty of time if we want to, again, to amend it. But just about the scheduling and the fixture list and our international level and domestic level with the curbs. Is the League Cup, and I know we're going to talk about the final on Sunday, is the League Cup really necessary right now with how congested the seasons have been and will be next year as well after the Euros? Is it really necessary? At some point, I think leagues will have to look at the numbers. You go down from 20 clubs to 18 clubs in the Premier League, in La Liga, in Ligue 1. The Bundesliga is already down to 18 clubs. You know, I think this is a reflection to have. I'm not saying that we should all go to 18 clubs, but this is something that they should think about it. And as well, think about this new format. Think if we really want this Swiss model with more games for everybody. Again, where are you going to play them? It's another midweek fixture, two more midweek fixtures probably for everybody, which again, I don't think is viable. Pep Guardiola said the other day, it's 8 months since City didn't play in midweek. 8 months where you play weekend, Wednesday. I mean, then people will get injured. People, and Craig is right. The value of your product and the quality of it will decrease massively.
Well, just quickly, before we go, you know what's going to happen, and it's already happening now, big time, but it's going to get worse. His managers are just going to play the most weakened teams in some of these competitions. That you could believe. And so if you turn up and you've paid your money, and hopefully we'll have crowds back in, well, we'll have crowds back in by 2024. But I mean, as a generalisation, when managers continually play weekend teams now and people have already paid good money for season books, or you turn up and you pay, it's just not going to last, I'm afraid. And I don't blame the managers for doing it.
Yeah.
Because they have to, and Stevie's...
They got to prioritise.
Stevie's coached. He knows you. Sometimes you got to, you know, you got to worry about the next couple of games. You got to worry about your star players. So you have to make decisions.
Let's get another perspective here. Archie Rintut joins us from Germany. Archie, it seemed like in Germany they just never really engaged with the idea of the Super League. What are they saying now about the new Champions League format?
It's echoing what İlkay Gundogan was saying, and such is the way that fans protest here for what they want. I think it's been encouraging to see what's been happening, particularly in England. I think that a few eyebrows have been raised at just how vociferous the protests have been over in England. I think as well, there's a point worth making here that for the first time, we've seen the football bubble threaten to break, which before it's always been more and more and more. But now those bigwigs have been told, no, actually, it stops here. And I think one of the biggest questions that we have to ask now is what happens next? How are fans going to feel emboldened by this? In Germany, we continually see fan protests against this new Champions League format on Borussia Dortmund's yellow wall. We saw two big banners. It's going to continually be protested here. They're not keen on it. Seb, Bayern Munich are playing their 47th game of the season tomorrow in 219 days. Usually, when they reach the 47-game mark in a season, it's around 260 days. So let's not be surprised that the quality has diminished this season. The fact that Robert Lewandowski, on course for a record-breaking season, gets injured. All the big players at Bayern Munich have at least had a period out this season. And that is telling you something about what is flawed with this current model.
Stevie, we asking too much of the players?
100%. And the one we've heard so many voices, but there's one voice we haven't heard. Where are these players' associations? Now, the PFA, particularly in England, I don't know about the rest of Europe, but the one in England is, you talk about having strength. What are they doing? Why are they not speaking to their players? And why are all the other associations around the world, why are they not speaking to the players? Because without the players, then they can't have the Super League or any other league. So what are they doing? I mean, we hear players complaining on social media about having too many games and too much of this. Well, guess what? How about you go to your association and do something about it? You know, they speak as though they can't do anything. Well, they can.
Jules, do the players' unions have a role here?
They can talk with their feet and don't play. So, you know, for 100 years, everybody's been saying it's too many. Well, it's about time they did something. Don't complain about it. Do something about it or shut up and play.
Jules, what about the associations, the unions? Do they have a role to play here?
I think Stevie is spot on, and I think this is a big issue. I mean, FIFPro, they're nice people, but they're far too weak to represent, and maybe it's impossible to represent all the players, you know, like this worldwide, almost like FIFPro is trying to do. They're too weak, they're not heard, you know. So then you go down to domestic unions, and the PFA for many years now have been embroiled into an internal war on who should be the head of the PFA, and Gordon Taylor and etc. This is not working. In France, the UNFP, very similar, not taking seriously enough. In Germany, I don't know how she can help us, but the problem is those unions don't have a voice compared to other industries or sector of work where they're far more powerful and certainly far more heard and respected. It's not the case in football. I don't know why. Maybe the players should do more themselves and make their union stronger. But right now, they should be far stronger than what they are, and that would help massively in this debate about other players playing too much. What can they do? What can be the response coming from them?
All right, thanks, guys. We will leave it there for now. Plenty more on the new Champions League format over on our website. Dale Johnson has all the details. A fascinating read.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Carabao Cup Final, Sunday, Manchester City, Tottenham at Wembley. Coverage starts at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Plus. Kickoff at 11:30. No surprise, City huge favorites over Spurs in Sunday's League Cup Final. Ryan Mason trying to do what Jose Mourinho could not, bring a trophy back to Tottenham for the first time since 2008. Let's get the predictions from the boys. No surprise here either. Everybody picking Manchester City, though we should note everybody picked Manchester City last weekend against Chelsea in the FA Cup. And we know how that turned out. Craig, start with you here. You got Manchester City winning 3-0. The big talking point coming into this
well,
one.
You are throwing some egg in our face from last week.
Well,
but you know, have you worked out that Chelsea are a more difficult side to play against than Tottenham?
I was just mentioning sometimes when all the pundits go one way on this show, the result turns out a different. That's all. Main talking point coming into this one: Pep Guardiola says he's going to start Zach Steffen. Steffen, of course, making the huge mistake that cost them against Chelsea in the FA Cup semi-final. You think it's the right call?
Yeah, I mean, people make mistakes. I don't have a problem with it. I think Stefan's a good goalkeeper. I think he will make changes in other places in the team because he has a Champions League game, huge game against PSG. He has no John Stones, so he has to play a Diaz and Laporte pairing at the back. That's a worry because if something happens to one of them, I think Sterling will probably come in. I think Jesus will play, guys that probably won't play against PSG. But yeah, I don't have an issue with Stefan. I think in general he's a good goalkeeper, and I don't think he'll be overly busy anyway. I expect Man City to dominate the game, so I'm expecting Stefan to have a pretty quiet afternoon.
Stevie, objectively here, Ederson's the better goalie. There's a trophy on the line. Would you go with Stefan?
Yes, I would. I wouldn't. Listen, it's a final. He's been looking after Stefan, whether it's him or anybody else. He's been looking after players throughout getting to the final, which is understandable with the amount of games. But once you get to a final, in my opinion, you play your best team. So when you don't do that, and that's what's going to happen, Stefan's going to be in. It's just another little G up to Tottenham. When they look and they see Stefan and they don't see Ederson. Listen, I'm not going to say that Tottenham are favourites here. They're clearly not. Manchester City, on a good day, are way better than Tottenham. But when you make changes, and we've seen it before, things can go wrong. So that's kind of what Tottenham are hanging on to. You know, they know City's going to make a lot of changes and they're hoping that for City, things will go wrong because it's probably going to be down to more about City, what they do, whether they're going to be as sharp with the ball, are they going to take the chances, and is Stefan, for example, going to make a mistake? That's kind of what they're looking at. It's not about what Tottenham does. It really is about City for me, and I think they'll have too much.
Let's turn our attention back to Spurs real quick, because this is from the timeline of one Archie Rintutt earlier today. Sources close to Julian Nagelsmann tells me he has previously had, quote, an active interest in Spurs as an English club, just as a fan. It would be a perfect match, in their words. We'll have more tonight on ESPN FC. Archie, here we are tonight on ESPN FC. You have more?
I do. The fact is that when I first heard this floated, this idea of Nagelsmann to Spurs, I raised an eyebrow because I thought, that doesn't seem like a fit. But the person that I've been talking to has said, actually, there could be something there because of quite a few factors, actually. If you look around Europe right now as to where Julian Nagelsmann would go, the logical choice, as I said to you on last week's show, would be Bayern Munich. But for a talented German coach like Julian Nagelsmann, who's in his early 30s, the Bayern Munich job's going to come up again. You would have said, well, Hansi Flick's going to be there for a while, maybe a year ago after they won the Champions League. Look at that club now. It's called FC Hollywood for a reason. You look around Europe. You look at Barcelona and Real Madrid. Do you want to go there right now? Arsenal? We've been talking about that. You don't want to step into that club right now. And then you look at the other teams in England. Is the Chelsea job going to be coming up anytime soon? No. City? No. United? Even if I think that Julian Nagelsmann is a better coach than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I don't think that he's going to take over there right now. So then you come to Spurs, a team who are considered, whether people want to debate that or not, one of the big six in England, and where there is money, good infrastructure, and the best players of Spurs are better than the best players of RB Leipzig. The expectations for Julian Nagelsmann going in there would be much lower than they would be on if he went to Bayern Munich, where it's win every week, win with flair, done. Mm. The Spurs, if he got them into the Champions League, that would be a good step. And I think that also the fact that Jose Mourinho was the last coach there and that he didn't do very well, I think that's an incentive to a lot of coaches looking at that Spurs job who want to be like, you know what? I'm better than Jose Mourinho. I can show that. And I think that particularly we've seen that Julian Nagelsmann nicknamed, I think he's not a fan of, but Baby Mourinho. I think that there is something that would really appeal to him about this Tottenham job. And from the person that I was speaking to as well, they believe that actually there might be more to this than originally meets the eye.
Craig, put yourself in Nagelsmann's shoes real quick. How attractive actually is that Spurs job?
I see what Archie's saying because this is the polar opposite in terms of coaching and to what has just been hired and sacked at Tottenham. Complete polar opposite. Different ideas, different way of playing, different mentality. So the only way you'd imagine would be up. The only thing I would say is that I think there is a ceiling at Tottenham with what they can achieve, because I think we'll see Man City still be strong. We'll see Liverpool go again for sure when all those players are back fit and healthy next season. I agree. United are not going to do anything with Solskjaer, albeit, you know my thoughts on that. Chelsea aren't changing manager. So these clubs are probably going to spend. So there is a ceiling at Tottenham. That's the only thing I would say. And I think he's jumping from a very good club into a club that, I don't know whether it would be better for him to wait. I think it would be a great appointment for Tottenham Hotspur and their fans. I'm just not quite sure with this man's reputation. He needs to, I'm going to say it, lower himself at the moment with his resume to go to Tottenham Hotspur.
He's being linked to Bayern Munich.
What I would say...
Yeah. Go on.
What I would add is that from the Leipzig point of view, they're selling one of their best players this summer in Deo Upamecano. Mm-hmm. That's a big sign as well. And Leipzig are very keen not to make sure that the house caves in now. So we've seen reports this week that they don't want to let Nagelsmann go to Bayern. But if you look at how the deal ended up with Naby Keita, with Timo Werner, that just translates into, please pay us a lot of money for these people to let them go. And I actually think, Craig, that the glass ceiling at RB Leipzig right now is maybe not as high. I think that the quality of player in that squad is very good, but it's just lots of very good players. And the jump up to Bayern Munich is a really big one. There's a reason why they're winning the league for a ninth year in a row here. So I think that actually, look, Nagelsmann's English is very good. I've spoken to him on many occasions in the past few seasons. And I think that, I think that he's very likable in that sense. I think that he's somebody who's the same age of the players, and that could be a real advantage to him. And I think that now would be a good time for him. But they'd have to pay a lot of money to RB Leipzig. There is no release clause in his contract, which expires in 2023.
I think just quickly, if I was Nagelsmann and that this was coming up, I think I would have to have a cast-iron guarantee about, you know, the usual scenario, but money to spend, and that Harry Kane wasn't going to go. Because that, you know, actually talking about players leaving RB Leipzig, if Kane decides to leave, or they decide to sell him for big money, and that's a big if, then you might as well not take that job for the time being.
Right. Also depends on your other options. He's linked to Bayern Munich, so puts it into context there. Okay, speaking of young managers, Frank Lampard was, what, 41 when he was let go back in January? This is from Jorginho about his former manager. I believe, given he was a legend at the club, he skipped some steps necessary for learning before moving to a big club. I think he came too soon, skipped a few steps ahead, and wasn't ready for a job at this level. Craig, fair point?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that you know, Frank Lampard came in after a year at Derby County with Jody Morris, did a very good job there, got to the Championship playoff final. We talked about, you know, a lot relentlessly on the show that he was coming in because it was going to appease the fans at the time. It was going to be a period where they had a transfer ban. And so the pressure was kind of off somewhat at that period, and he got them in the top four. So that gave him a bit of encouragement. But I don't think there's any doubt that, you know, had anybody else managed in the Championship for 1 year and had not played for Chelsea, you wouldn't have got the Chelsea job. So I think there is obviously some truth to what Jorginho is saying. I'm just interested to know if he had that conversation with Lampard when he was the manager. Oh, hi, Frank. Am I playing this week? By the way, you got this job too early.
Stevie, was that the problem with Frank Lampard at Chelsea? Was it experience?
Listen, clearly we all know what led up to Frank getting the job. And I have no problem with that. I think in the time that Frank was there, most of the time, he was correct in what he did. He got them in the top four without a transfer window. Great job. They started the season, 17 game unbeaten run, top of the league. And then, yes, they had a horrendous spell. But what manager hasn't had a horrendous spell? And he gets thrown out because it's Chelsea. So, you know, I understand anybody thinking that way. What I don't like, though, is it's coming from a player. If this was coming from an older head, an older coach, an experienced coach who could look at what the body of what Frank did and kind of pinpoint little mistakes that were down to experience, then I would be okay with this. But the fact is coming from one of the players who I don't think was particularly great under Frank, and I don't think Frank particularly rated them. I just don't like it because players have got no idea what coaching's all about. It is absolutely the opposite and nothing to do with what you do as a player. And so I just hate it that players come out and say things like that. And OK, if somebody asks you the question, I always say it. You don't have to answer it. You just say, I'm a player, I'm not sure. But don't go criticising when you don't know anything about what you're criticising somebody for.
You got a problem with what Jorginho said, Craig?
I mean, there is some truth in what he's saying, but I don't have a problem. If people want to speak, that's up to them, right? If people want to say things, that's their choice. Some players have more of a problem with certain managers than others. Frank Lampard will say what every manager and coach says. Given time, I would have turned it around. Mm. As Stevie said, they had a cracking start to the season. Then it sort of fell apart from a little bit. Everybody was out of form. Some of those players are still out of form, like Timo Werner. But somehow Thomas Tuchel is finding a shape, and he did change the shape of the team to get results without it being spectacular to watch. But at the end of the day, Lampard was at a club that hire and fire managers for fun. So he knew the drill, and I'm sure he's not fussed one iota with what Jorginho had to say. Look, you know, Stevie said you don't have to answer, but it's not going to kill anybody.
All right, leave it there for now. Extra time still ahead. Stevie, Craig, Jules taking your questions off social media. No telling what we'll get into in today's edition.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
6 games left in the season for most of La Liga, 7 for some, including Barcelona, who have a game in hand on the teams they're chasing. Atletico right now atop the table, 3 points clear of their city rivals, 5 points ahead of Barcelona, 6 points ahead of fourth place. Sevilla. Real Madrid in action on Saturday. They should have Eden Hazard back. Julian Laurent still with us as well. Barcelona, they play early Sunday. So, Jules, there could be some serious pressure on Atleti when they take the field in the late match Sunday afternoon.
Yes, you're right, Sebi, and this could be a weekend where we see another twist in this incredible title race, because they all play some tough teams, some tougher than others, depending if you're home or away. But Real Betis for Real Madrid, Athletic Bilbao for Atletico Madrid, and Villarreal for Barcelona. No easy games at all. Big opposition who all have big players at some point, who have had some point this season. So there's a big weekend of La Liga coming up. We could see another shift in terms of who has the upper hand, who is the favourite, who has dropped more points. Certainly the momentum with Barcelona, as we've explained for many weeks now, who have their own destiny in their own hands. If they win all their games, including the one against Atletico, they will be crowned champions. Real Madrid with Karim Benzema, Atletico with two wins in a row now, with Angel Correa scoring goals in replacement of Luis Suarez, who's still out injured. Big games for the three of them this weekend.
The race in Spain, all about the top spot. In Germany, all about the top four. Basically, Wolfsburg, Frankfurt, and Dortmund, three teams battling for two spots. Archie van Tucht is still with us. Archie, I know you'll be at Bayern's match away against Mainz as they look to wrap up the Bundesliga title. But really, the game of the weekend here has to be Wolfsburg against Dortmund, isn't it?
I'm not so sure, because Mainz are in amazing form right now. They only had 7 points at the halfway stage, which is the
same
amount of points
that Schalke had. Come on, Archie. Come on, Archie. We're talking Champions League spots.
But what I was going to say is that they're all big games. These are all really big games which are worth looking forward to. It's a shame that they're all on at the same time as well, because Wolfsburg and Borussia Dortmund, there's a lot going on between those two in terms of the way that the game went earlier in the season. Wolfsburg probably deserved to win. Dortmund took the points. And Wolfsburg have been playing a much more consistent season than Borussia Dortmund. Only recently have Dortmund suddenly started to look like a team that could qualify for the Champions League again. So that's a big game. And if Eintracht Frankfurt make it into the Champions League, that's a stunning achievement as well. And huge game for them away at Leverkusen. There's all kinds of stuff going on down at the bottom of the league. About six teams could still get relegated. Lots of fun, unless you're a fan of one of them.
More on the bottom of the Bundesliga a little bit later on, but let's go to the top of Ligue 1. Jules, this might be the best title race in all of Europe. Lille, PSG, Monaco, and Lyon, four teams separated by just 3 points. And we got Lyon and Lille in the last game of the weekend here. Jules, could be a huge turn in this race.
That would be huge, because we could have another change at the top if there's a draw between Lille and Lyon, for example, and PSG and Monaco, where winners, PSG especially, away at Metz. So again, huge game. And for Lyon, they will have two games coming up, this one against Lille and then against Monaco in 2 weeks' time, which will define their season. If they win them both, I think they'll have a really good shot to win this league and title, which would be incredible for them, because it'll be the first time since almost that decade of domination that they had in the early 2000s. But if they don't win this Sunday, for example, against Lille, and Lille will go and get a win in Lyon, I think the momentum for Lille would be extraordinary coming into the last four games of the season. Mm.
Liga may have the best title race, but the best race for the top four may well be in Italy. You got second through sixth all very much still alive. Lazio in sixth, but they do have a game in hand. Second through fifth separated by just 3 points. It'll be Lazio and AC Milan to close out the weekend on Monday. Jules, this is going to be a mad dash over the next couple weeks, isn't it?
It's going to be incredible, because as you said, from Milan in second, just 8 points clear of Lazio in sixth with a game in hand, so potentially 5 points. It's just going to be incredible. The Lazio-Milan game on Sunday is worth so much. We saw last weekend already, or in midweek, the big clashes, you know, between Napoli and Roma, between Atalanta and Roma, Napoli and Lazio, all those games. We'll have more to come as well between now and the end of the season, with a lot of suspense, with a lot of tension, with a lot of pressure as well. Even Juventus are way from sure to be in that top four. So big battle coming up between Lazio, Napoli, Atalanta, Juve, Milan, just behind Inter, who are pretty much certain to win the title.
Milan's second now. They could be fifth by the time they play on Monday. As Jules says, big weekend in Serie A. All the action for you on ESPN Plus. Starts with Genoa Spezia early Saturday morning, early Sunday. It's Benevento Udinese on ESPN2. And then the big one Monday, Lazio in sixth, AC Milan in second.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
MLS available for you on ESPN Plus this weekend. There you see the full slate of games. Starts in New York City against FC Cincinnati, 1 Eastern time on Saturday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, where the action wraps up. Portland Timbers, Houston Dynamo, your TV match. Oh, it's a good one. LAFC against the Seattle Sounders. Bob Bradley against Brian Schmetzer. Always a classic when those two throw down. 6 p.m. Eastern time, that match available for you on ESPN. I said take the over in that match, Craig, on the latest edition of Football Americas, which I know you were one of the first people to download. We've been super appreciative of your support, and we look forward to having you as a guest on the show very soon.
I'm excited.
Your voice somehow doesn't seem to reflect that.
What do you want me to say? I await my invite as a special guest.
Very well.
On your new show.
Thank you. Thank you for mentioning
I notice you always tweet out Football Americas now. Hashtag ESPNFC. Who are they?
Well,
forgotten all about them. I just do this now and again.
That's not true. I have equal love for both shows. I have more love for Extra Time. We got Craig, Jules, Stevie. Enjoy. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this Friday edition of Extra Time on ESPNFC. Even my enthusiasm couldn't draw a smile out of Craig. Sorry.
You're tired, and you know why.
I do know why. And it's not because you were watching Arsenal and Everton. Also with us, Stevie and Jules, plus your questions straight from Twitter. Stevie, first one's for you. You were conspicuously absent during the European Super League fiasco. Were you the one who planted the 40 people at Stamford Bridge, as per Florentino Perez, to sabotage his plan? Stevie, you did it, didn't you?
Well, no, but I'll tell you what. I was so happy that I was on vacation, because it got boring after a while. Day after day, listen to every man and his dog talking about it. Even I was bored there, and I'm thinking, oh, when I come back, please don't ask me about it. And nobody did. It was brilliant.
Well, your vacation lasted longer than the European Super League, so there you have it.
I want to know how he knew about it.
You're suggesting Stevie's not up to news when he's on vacation?
Well, he's not on Twitter.
Because Michael that I was with told me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have.
All right. Craig and Stevie, have you both ever spoken out against your club management during your time at Chelsea and Liverpool, respectively? Would you have had an occasion? I mean, there's nothing like this going on, right?
If you wanted a punch in the face, then you would have tried it, but no.
Yeah. Different times, right? There's not even a... what would you have spoken out against?
No, things... in general, things were kept internal.
Yeah.
And dealt with internally rather than... wasn't social media back then either, so...
There you go. Jules, this one might be for you. Why do European football fans get so upset with teams trying to make more money, but at the same time beg for billionaires to buy the team they support? It's very hypocritical. Money in football is nothing new.
No, it's nothing new. I don't think the problem was too much that they wanted to make more money. The problem mostly was that it was a close league where you could not be relegated, promoted, that kind of stuff, that you could be playing in the championship and still be playing of that in that Super League, which was really unfair and against all the values of sports, more than the money, of course. But I think everybody wants more money for your club, so you can spend it on the transfer market, get better players. I don't think that's an issue to want more money, to try to generate more money, whether that's through TV revenue, sponsorship deals, marketing, anything you want. Of course, the more money your club has, the better your club can be. Although, as we've seen and as we've discussed before, you can have money and make a mess out of it anyway. But I think the biggest issue for me in that Super League, from the fans' point of view, certainly was not so much trying to make more money or wanting to make more money. It was the format of it and the concept of it and the idea behind it.
Jules, it's been a banner week for American owners in Europe. What are your thoughts on the situation at Bordeaux going into administration? Because their American owners just straight up said they don't want to support the club anymore.
Yeah, and I think that's an absolute disgrace for me what King Street have done in there. If you want to invest in a football club, no problem. But when you pick a club like Bordeaux as well, with all the history that you have, with the fan base, but also how much it means to the community and to the city of Bordeaux and the area, you can't come in and just mess it up the way they did. And I think it's been an absolute disgrace the way they ran that club, the way the debts has increased, the way they treated the people who worked at the club and also the people who supported the club. And they might have their explanations and their reasons, and because they don't talk, we don't know. But certainly now to leave the club like this, just like if it was a piece of rubbish on the pavement, and said, you know what, let's have the tribunal deal with it, we don't want to put any more money in it or not anything to have to do with it, I think it's an absolute disgrace. And it doesn't matter if they're American or Finnish or Chinese or French or whatever, you just can't treat people that way.
Jules, the protests have pretty much died down everywhere except at Arsenal, where everybody still wants Stan Kroenke out. Do you think there's any chance the fans will get what they want at Arsenal and force them to sell the team?
I don't think the Kroenke family wants to sell the team. I think they will take on board the protest, of course, and they can see and they can hear it. And we saw Josh Kroenke addressing the fan forum this week, which is something that he has rarely done before. And I think he felt the need to come out and speak to those fans, or the ones at least who were there on that call. And I think they want to put things right, for sure. But I don't think they will be selling the club anytime soon. Mm.
For Stevie, if you were manager of one of the 12 teams involved in the Super League and were not told by the owners until the media knew, what would you have done?
I don't know. That's a tough one because, you know, at the end of the day, you're brought in to do your job and not get involved in specifically how the club are going about making more money in particular. So that's a tough one. I'm glad that Klopp and Pep and other managers had the strength to be able to turn around and say that, you know, they didn't want to be any part of it. I think that takes a bit of courage to turn around to your owners and do that. But I'm not sure. You know, I'm kind of. I'll do my job and let others do their job. So I'm not so sure I would have got too involved in it.
Fair enough. Put the players, put the managers between a rock and a hard place there. Craig, what are the initial signs of a manager losing the dressing room? Shouldn't an experienced manager like Mourinho know the signs, as it has happened in at least three clubs he managed? Or is he too self-obsessed that he misread the situations?
Well, I don't know if he lost the dressing room.
What's the sign? What's like the first sign that
players laughing
gone?
At a manager behind his back?
Really?
But
he's not going to see that. The manager's not going to see that, right?
Look, I think when you're a player, when you play at the top level, right, or sorry, any level, particularly professionally, you know straight away when a manager comes in to the club. As soon as you get on the training ground, as soon as he starts talking, you know if he's full of BS or not. You just know. So you're either with them straight away or you're not. I mean, sometimes managers treat players badly, and that's how they lose them. And sometimes they just come in and you can tell straight away that they really don't have a clue what they're doing. Now, most of the top level guys don't have that issue because they're there on...
I would assume when Mourinho shows up, he's respected, right?
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean by the fact that most of the top level guys are respected by resume. And so, you know, you might lose a dressing room by the way you treat people. But I don't know if that's the case at Tottenham or whether players just get fed up the way they were playing or whatever. But yeah, if you can always tell if a group of players are not what we would call not having a manager. Mm.
It's a training ground thing.
It's a dressing room thing.
It's a dressing room.
Well, locker room. What do you call it? What do you want? Locker room, dressing room?
Oh, it's all the same. What's the worst thing a manager said to you? That's the next question.
No, nothing.
Come on. What's the worst thing you said to a manager?
I can't say that.
Good. It is extra time. It's extra time.
I can't swear.
Stevie, what's the worst thing a manager said to you?
The worst thing. I remember Doug Leash once telling me that if that's what I had, it's a long story, but basically I was absolutely shattered. It was the testimonial game on the Monday night. I had played 2 games in 2 days, the previous 2 days, and I had nothing in the tank at all. And I was on the bench, and he told me that, you know, unless he had to use me, he wouldn't use me, and that was fine. So I ended up going on for 20 minutes, and I couldn't run. And I came off after the game, and about 5 minutes after the game, and it's a testimonial, man. He came up to me and said, "Don't ever do that again." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He went, "If that's what you're going to play like, and that's what you're going to give," he said, "just let me know, and we won't bother." And they walked away. I was like, "Right?"
It's tough. That's hard.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah.
No, it's not really. Yeah, yeah. The worst thing it's probably said to Stevie was when Graeme Souness told him he couldn't have the beers on the bus.
That was the most heartbreaking.
You're no kidding.
No. Hey, Jules.
But
you played in like the third or fourth tier in France. You must have had some rubbish managers. Did they ever get on your case?
I've had a bad one, but the best story with the manager, or the worst thing that manager said to me was when I was starting my career at the Le Parisien newspaper, and I wrote a story. There was a guy playing for Auxerre when they were in the French top flight who was not happy with Djibril Cissé, who at the time was scoring a lot of goals for Auxerre, but taking a lot of shots and playing in a very selfish way. So the guy spilled the beans a lot, but he said, "Don't put my name, okay?" So I wrote the story in it with a source, but not naming the source. And I had Giroud, who was the manager at the time, one of the most legendary managers that we've had in French football history. And Giroud rang me at work on my office line and said, "I'm not sure," it's extra time we can say, he said, "You're a piece of yeah, you are." And I was like, "Boss, listen to me. It's not me. I mean, come on. It's one of your boys who was not happy with Djibril." So it was really funny. We ended up laughing about it. But yeah, that's probably the worst I've had from a manager.
Well, I will just bleep that one out, Jules, as well, while we're at it.
That's why we don't do it live. That's
I remember Ian Porterfield coming talking about losing the dressing room. He's no longer with us. When he was manager at Chelsea, and he'd lost the dressing room. And I remember we lost. I was only a youngster, like 18, 19. So I was in the squad. We played at Roker Park, Sunderland. And I travelled up with the team. So we're on the bus on the way back. And he went up the back of the bus to get the beers, right? This was the opposite way around. It was the manager on the beers. So he went up the back of the bus to get the beers. And as he's walking down, he's got like a crate of beer in his hand, walking down from the fridge. And he's like slaughtering each player as he walked down, right? And he said to them all, "You'll all be gone before me. I'll get rid of yous all. You'll all be gone before me." And he got sacked the next morning.
Karma.
But he'd lost the dressing room. You know what happens.
We heard about, who was it, Ilkay Gundogan earlier in the show, who said it was like choosing between two bad choices. The new Super League.
No, it's a lesser
of two evils. Lesser of two evils, right? Here's this for you, Craig. Would you rather be a guest on Football America's or the Gavin Jewell Show?
Oh my God.
Easy. That's an easy one.
Oh, hey, come on.
Well, I mean, I might.
The main answer, Jules.
I might not get a word in on any of them.
Wait a second. Because you have a
Jules
take.
Jules has to beg to get a word in, and the guy, it's just called the. It's the Gab and.
It's the Gab and Breath
partially
podcast.
Lorenzo. What do you mean? Well, at least they're talking about European football.
We talk about some European football.
No, you don't. It would have to be Gab and Jules.
Okay.
Can't we have done with your football America's
yes.
nonsense?
Have you seen
the show?
I never
get invited on that
have
show.
Have you seen the show? How do you know it's nonsense?
Well, I know what your topic
we,
is.
Actually, we frequently use clips from this show to give us some gravitas.
I don't need any more. No more. That's nonsense. I need no more evidence. Right. What do you talk about?
Soccer.
Yeah, but what soccer? Differentiate yourself.
Help, so we talk about out. All the things that you don't want to talk about on this show.
Which are?
What's Liga Mekis,
Major League Soccer, US.
Football America, Stevie, and he's telling me he talks about everything.
Hey, we had Stevie on the show the other day.
Exactly.
From where? From what? From Naples, Florida?
No, he was talking about Chelsea and Pulisic.
Yeah. Well, that's not Football America. What is that Football America?
Well, he's from the United States.
All right.
Well, would you talk about him on FC? No.
Yeah, I do.
Somebody's got to do the heavy lifting.
I talk about him. I've got no problem with that.
All right.
I'm not coming on your show, by the way.
You're not?
No.
Not even if I ask nicely?
No.
What if the bosses ask nicely?
No. You need to pay me.
Okay. Well, that's... I don't have that.
I never get invited on Gab and Jules. Don's got that gig.
Yeah.
Next, you're next.
Jules, where is Craig on your depth chart of future guests? Because he wants to do more work, is what he was telling me earlier.
Is that the top for me? Is Gab who's not so keen?
My boss has tapered my work back this year for different reasons. So yeah. He knows I can't be doing all these extra gigs.
Totally, you just...
I was going to say can't be bothered. Yep.
No, very good reasons.
Very good reasons. Okay. All right, we'll be back on tomorrow's show. Dan Thomas will be here taking all the abuse that I can only sustain once a week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.